Given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on December 20th, 1980 in Mumbai, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 5.
Conditioned by the three modes of nature, or a product of nature, of matter. Para, transcendental. Api, in spite of. Manute, takes it for granted. Anartham, things not wanted. Touch, by that. Kritancha, reaction. Abhipadyate, undergoes thereof. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product, and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. Translation. Due to this external energy, the root cause of suffering by the materialistic living beings is pointed out with remedial measures which are to be undertaken, and also the ultimate perfection to be gained. All this is mentioned in this particular verse. The living being is by a constitution transcendental to material engagement, but he is now imprisoned by the external energy, and therefore he thinks himself one of the material products, and due to the unholy contact, the pure spiritual entity suffers material miseries under the modes of material nature. The living entity misunderstands himself to be a material product. This means that the present perverted way of thinking, feeling, and willing under material conditions is not natural for him, but he has his normal way of thinking, feeling, and willing. The living being in his original state is not without thinking, willing, and feeling power. It is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that the actual knowledge of the conditioned soul is now covered by nescience. Thus, the theory that a living being is absolute impersonal Brahman is refused herein. This cannot be, because the living entity has his own way of thinking in his original unconditioned state also, which means that the illusory energy takes the initiative while the Supreme Lord is aloof. The Lord does not desire that a living being be illusioned by external energy. The external energy is aware of this fact, but still she accepts a thankless task of keeping the forgotten soul under illusion by her bewildering influence. The Lord does not interfere with the task of the illusory energy, because such performances of the illusory energy are also necessary for reformation of the conditioned soul. An affectionate father does not like his children to be chastised by another agent, yet he puts his disobedient children under the custody of a severe man just to bring them to order. But the all-affectionate Almighty Father at the same time desires relief for the conditioned soul, relief from the clutches of the illusory energy. The king puts the disobedient citizen within the walls of the jail. But sometimes the king, desiring the prisoner's relief, personally goes there and pleads for reformation. And on his doing so, the prisoners are set free. Similarly, the Supreme Lord descends from his kingdom and personally gives relief in the form of the Bhagavad Gita, wherein he personally suggests that although the ways of illusory energy are stiff to overcome, one who surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord is set free by the order of the Supreme. This means that the conditioned souls are being reclaimed by the Lord in both ways, namely by the process of punishment by the external energy of the Lord and by himself as the spiritual master within and without. Within the heart of every living being, the Lord himself as the supreme, super soul, Paramatma, becomes the spiritual master. And from without he becomes the spiritual master in the shape of scripture, saints, and the initiator, spiritual master. This is still more explicitly explained in the next sloka. Is Anandamaya Vyasat, is by nature blissful. Satchidananda Vigraha, eternal, filled with blissful knowledge. But due to the influence of material nature, he thinks himself to be a product of this material nature. Therefore, he identifies instead with his own eternal blissful knowledge. He identifies with this material misery, with this material transient happiness. You see, this is the unfortunate condition of the living entities. So we wander in this material world through so many species of life. Eto brahmandhavari ananto jiva gan chorasi lakho yoni te korai brahman. 84 lakh species of life. Different kinds of species of life. Aquatic, lizards, animals, human beings. But who are we? Who is wandering? We are a small particle of Godhead. Keshagra satabhagasya satangsa sadishatmakam jiva sukshma sarupo yam sankartito hichitkona. 1,000, 1/100 of a tip of a hair divided again 100 times. In other words, 1/10,000th of a tip of a hair is the sarupo, is the size, the nature of the individual spirit soul, the jiva. But that jiva is a chitkona. What is chitkona? It is a spark of life. It is a small particle of spiritual energy. Bhagavad Gita describes that spiritual energy as that which cannot be destroyed, acetan, cannot be cut, cannot be burnt, cannot be destroyed, acquired. You see, achuta, it's also an inconceivable thing to understand. So, we are this small particle of spiritual energy. Just like a spark comes from the fire, you see. Out of the fire, out of the mercy of Krishna, we go out. We lose our spiritual energy. When we're under the shelter of Krishna, then we are in our full spiritual potency. So this small particle is wandering through so many species of life. Tar madde stabar jangam duibe, tar madde jangame, tirjag jala stola chorvibe. You তার মধ্যে মনুষ্য জাতি অত অল্প, তার মধ্যে মেচ্ছা ফুলিন্দা বোধা সাবর। Amongst all these living creatures, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has divided them according to the Vedic division, that there are moving and non-moving. Like a tree or a plant, they are not moving. Then there are moving creatures. These are birds, fish, and animals, including human beings. Then, beyond that, there are the human beings who are very few. A small percentage of living beings are human. Out of 84 lakh, only 4 lakh. So these human beings, you see, most of the human beings are not considered to be civilized. They are mlecha, those who do not follow the Vedic principles, pulinda, those who are meat eaters and unclean, bodha, those who are impersonalists and atheists, sabor, those who are envious and hunters. You see. In Nepal, next to our temple, there is one ashram called Arogya Ashram. It's a naturopath center. So every morning the grihastha in charge of the ashram, he puts on his saffron shirt and white Nepali baggy pants and sits on his lawn chair and then talks with people. So one time he wanted to come up and meet the Acharya of Hare Krishna movement. So he came up and paid his obeisances and we had a discussion. So he said, main thing in life is good health. If you have good health, then you can do everything. Without good health, you cannot make spiritual advancement. This was his point. Everything depends on good health. So I asked him, what is his philosophy for success in life? He said, success in life depends on one's hard work. You come into this world, you use your brain, and you make out a path somehow or another. I said, what about the next life? Next life, same thing. You take birth and you figure out what to do and then you make a program. You see. It's a kind of a spontaneous programming here. So I said, that's very nice. Now you're fortunate you're born in India, Nepal. You see, you may know something about Gita. But what if next life you'd get born in the jungles? You see, and there you were a hunter. And you are eating rats and things, you see. Then how are you going to make your path? You're only going to have a few choices before you because you'll be very conditioned. He said, this is something I never thought about before. I said, you now have nice health, but next life automatically you can get nice health if you take birth in a healthy species of tiger, lion, gorilla. You see, they're always eating fresh fruit, organic food only. You see. Is this what you are aiming for? He said, I'd like to discuss with you some more, Hare Krishna. So, in this way, people have so many ideas, but they do not think what the future holds for them. Now we may be human beings, somehow or another we're getting mercy of Guru and Krishna, but if we do not act properly, what will be our next life? Bhajahure mana Sri Nandanandana Bhaya Sharanara Vindare Dhulabha Manava Janava Satsange Tarahai Bhava Sindure Durlava Manava Janama. How rare this human birth is. Even more rare, satsanga, to have association with devotees. So we should be very careful not to waste our human life and simply engage in materialistic activities. Not to ever give up the association of satsanga, of devotees. sadhu sanga sadhu sanga sarva shastra koi lobamatra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoy. We should be very careful to keep that mercy. What is the position of a devotee that we should understand? How rare is a devotee? And how fortunate is one who is associating with devotees? Mahabhu explained, what is the position of a devotee? So first of all, we can understand in relation to the human species. Of all the living entities, human are few. Most of them are this Lecha, Pulinda, Bodha, Savor. You see, then we get what? We get civilized people, those who follow the Vedas. Veda nishtamodhyadhik veda mukhimane ved nishit papakori dharma nahi gane. Most of the people, they accept Vedas by mouth only. Mukhimane. Yes, I am Hindu. I believe in Sanatana Dharma. But what do? Chaitanya Dev says, ved nishit papakori. They do all the forbidden acts of the Vedas. Vedas say you should be a vegetarian or should eat Krishna prasad. Do they eat prasad? No, they eat any nonsense. You see. Ved says that no, you should do so many things like chant Hare Krishna mantra, you should get up early in the morning, you should do... No, instead they're doing the opposite. They're taking intoxication, they're engaging in extramarital relations with the opposite sex. These things go on. Although they claim that, yes, we are followers of Veda. So Mahabhu said, Veda nishtamate, those who say they are followers of Veda, ardhika Veda mukhimane. Most of them simply say it by mouth alone. But in actual activities, they are not showing. They are doing the forbidden acts, which are not authorized by Vedas. You see. Of course, there are a few who are following. There are many who are following or trying to follow the Vedas. They are known as dharmachari, those who are actually accepting religion and religious principles. Dharmachari madde bahut karmanishta koti. They're called karmanishta. Karmanishta means those who follow the karmakan for elevation. Good next birth, swargaloka, birth. These are all the goals of these karmanishta. They want to enjoy a happy material life and follow principles of dharma. Compared to them, a jnani is far superior. Koti karmanishta madde. Ako jnani sreshto. Out of millions and millions of these karmis, karmanishta, one jnani, one person who knows, I am eternal, this life is temporary, he is far superior. Koti jnani madde ako jan hoy mukto. And out of millions of such jnanis, who know I am eternal, who are shooting for the spiritual emancipation or liberation, one who has actually achieved such liberation, he is considered to be far superior. You see, so out of millions of such jnanis, one, he actually achieves the goal of liberation. Koti jnani madde dullavako krishna bhakto. And out of millions of such jnanis, it is hard, rare, to find one Krishna devotee. Sasteshu manushanam kushchijadri siddhaye yatatavi siddhanam kushchin maang veri tatvata. How rare is the devotee? You see. Muktanam avi siddhanam narayana parayana. Sudullabam prasantatma koti swapi bhamune. Out of all the liberated souls, muktanam, out of all the siddhanam, the best of the siddha purush, those who are possessing mystic power, like anima, prapti, lagima, mohima, siddhi, those who can produce rasgulas and watches from the air, You see, those are called Siddha. Just sitting from here, Siddha, who has Prapti Siddhi, he can take one, you see. Siko watch from Hong Kong and give it to Giriraj Maharaj. Here, have one Siko watch. And you can say, oh, very nice. You see. And he can give one Mercedes car to Jagat Guru Swami for his preaching. Yes. This is Siddhi. But compared to the Siddhi, far superior is considered to be Narayana Purayana, devotee of the Lord. Why? That also Lord Chaitanya explains. Krishna Bhakta Niskama Toiv Shanta. Bhakti Bhakti Siddhi Kami Sakali Oshanta. That Krishna devotee is desireless. He's not desiring anything for himself, therefore he's peaceful. But those who are desiring material happiness, liberation, and mystic power, their desires, they're always, you see, disturbing their mind. Therefore, sagali oshanto, they're all disturbed in mind. This is the situation. So, brahmando brahmite kono bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasade pai bhakti locha beach. We're wandering and we're wandering throughout this material world. Birth after birth, somehow by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we get the seed of bhakti. That is the most rare opportunity that anyone can have. By mercy of Krishna, who is situated in the heart as Paramatma, he brings one to the lotus feet of Guru, who is his representative. By mercy of Guru, by following the instructions of the spiritual master, one satisfies Krishna and he goes back to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is a rare mercy of Lord Krishna. So someone who is so fortunate, you see, someone who is so fortunate as to get this seed of devotion, he should become a gardener and water it. Mali hoya se bij, kore aropan, savana kirtana jale, koraye se chan. He should become a water, a gardener and water his seed of devotion. Water that plant with the hearing and chanting of the holy name. So, this is the basic difficulty, is that we forget who we are. We think we're this material body. And we make our plan and program for what is satisfying to our mind, what is satisfying to our body. We do not think what is satisfying to Krishna, which is the basic disease why we are in this world, is that we are part and parcel of Krishna. We should be simply thinking how to satisfy Krishna. If we do that, then everything is solved. All the problems are cast away. The mercy of Krishna is easily available, you see, especially by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has sent his preachers all over the world. On the order of superior authority, the preacher, he becomes a spiritual master and he delivers people, giving them the mercy of Krishna. So this is the special opportunity that we have. You see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had many devotees, many energies. He himself is Krishna. So some of his energies perform some tasks and others perform other tasks. As Narottam Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur prayed to Lord Chaitanya that, my dear Lord, you are having varieties of energies. And of these energies, I see two principal divisions. I see that some of your devotees, they are engaging in writing transcendental literatures, such as Rupa and Sanatan Gopal Bhakti Goswami. Others, I see, they are engaged in distributing those transcendental literatures to the fallen souls, such as Srinivas Acharya and others. So, in Chaitanya pastimes, he ordered many of his immediate associates to write literatures. And after the literatures were written, he also empowered other of his associates in the disciplic succession to distribute those literatures. Srinivas Acharya was the first book distributor, you can say, in our sampradaya, because he was entrusted by Radha Govindaji, and all the associates still remaining on earth, with the task of taking Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, all the Goswami's works, back to the devotees waiting in the eastern states, in Bengal and Orissa, and to distribute to them. Srinivas Acharya is a disciple of Gopal Bhakti Goswami. He was the son of Chaitanya Das and Lakshmi Priya Devi from the village of Chakunti in Burdwan district of Bengal. His character was unique. He was born on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He ordered both husband and wife, you must go back to your village. They came to visit him in Jagannath Puri, and you must have a child. And that child will be a great devotee, who will be a preacher of mine. He will do great works for me. His name will be Srinivas. And then when they had their child, they trained him up in such a wonderful way. Mother was always taking the baby on the lap, saying, chant Hari, chant Govinda, chant Nityananda Pran, the life of Nityananda, chant Advaita Iswara, the Lord of Advaita. In so many ways she would get her son to chant the names of Krishna and Chaitanya. And that would be his whole childhood pastime, was to chant Hare Krishna, to revel in the discourses of Krishna consciousness. When he was about 10-12 years old, his father was telling him how he first met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he was going to Navadvip to see Lord Chaitanya, because he was feeling very much the separation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So on his way to Navadvip, he stopped in the town of Katwa, and there he saw huge crowds of people. He said, what is this? What is this? They said, you don't know. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu has come to Katwa. He said, why? Why has Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip and come to Katwa? He said, you don't know. He's going to take sannyas. He's come here to take sannyas from Keshav Bharati. Just now he's at the ashram of Keshav Bharati. So Chaitanya Das, he thought that I got, actually at that time he was known as Krishna Das Bhattacharya or something. He got the name Chaitanya Das later. But he thought that I just got the moon in my head. I'm going to see Lord Chaitanya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just here in Katwa. So then, He immediately went over to the ashram of Keshav Bharati. There he saw huge, huge crowds of people. And there in the center he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in kirtan. Dancing with his associates. Nityananda, Mukunda, Chandrasekhar, 4 or 5 associates were there. And they were chanting. And Lord Chaitanya was dancing in the center, and he started to spin around and around and around, and he started to cry and soaked everyone in the crowd with the tears from his eyes, jumping, and the people were going mad, Goranga, 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 and he was dancing and dancing. Suddenly he got hold of himself and he saw everybody was standing there just amazed seeing this display, and he said, "All right, call the barber. Now it is time to take sannyas." And the people the women started to cry. The man started to feel tremendous anxiety. The barber came, he bowed down, he said, "How can I cut your hair? I cannot do it." Lord Chaitanya said, ordered him, "You must do it, just do your business. Don't procrastinate. It is my order." So he touched his feet, and then he started to cut the hair of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he started to cut the hair, the devotees, they were going mad. They were going mad. "No, no! That those beautiful golden, those beautiful hairs of the golden Lord Chaitanya. No, no!" And they're beating their head and they're falling. And as Chaitanya Das was telling this to his son, he couldn't take it. The mood of all the devotees was so intense just to think of it. He fell unconscious then. And he just fell in the same mood, just at that time, the same mood as when he was in Katwa, he became immersed and he just started saying, "Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya." And he was just lying on the ground crying, "Chaitanya, Chaitanya." Srinivasacharya grabbed the feet of his father, put on his head, and was saying, "Goranga, Goranga, Goranga." And then the mother came in to see what was happening and saw the father and the son there unconscious on the ground just crying and saying the names of Chaitanya. This was the family life of Srinivasacharya in his childhood days. You see, that was the way they were living. Always engaged in the transcendental glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Srinivasacharya, when he went, after great endeavor and finally met his spiritual master, Gopal Bhatta Goswami in Vrindavan, he did not want to leave Vrindavan. There was Narottam Thakur and Shyamananda Pandit, his intimate associates, his dear friends. Although Narottam Das Thakur was the disciple of Lokanath Goswami, and Shyamananda Pandit was the disciple of Hridayananda Das, Hridoy Chaitanya Das, still, you see, then at that time it was one happy family. Didn't matter who was one's spiritual master, everyone was in the family of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were all one brotherhood, you see. So they were enjoying such wonderful pastimes that he did not want to leave. But Govindaji ordered, "You must go, Srinivasacharya, you take Narottam and Shyam and take the books. You must take the books, the Grantha, to the eastern states." And then Gopal Bhatta, Jiva Goswami, they also ordered, "You must take these books, Narottam, Shyamananda, you accompany." They were feeling such separation. Who would want to leave the association of their spiritual master? Who would want to leave the association of the great souls like Jiva Goswami, Bhugarbha, Lokanath, Vijaya, Haridas, Thakur, Krishna Das, Kobiraj, Jagannath Das, Goswami, all of the great devotees who would want to leave? They were feeling great separation when they may see them again. But order of Guru, they receive, they must go. They must take. Order of Guru and Krishna, they must take these books. And when they went out to take the books on a special auspicious day, all of those great saints, they came. From Radhakund, Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das, Kaviraj came, from Govardhan, Vichahuri Das, from the different places, all the different great saints came. And they accompanied the book distributors. They went out to the border of Vrindavan. And they all blessed them that your distribution, your taking these books to the devotees will be successful. Even as they left Vrindavan, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they accompanied, and a few other devotees accompanied all the way to Mathura. And then finally from there, Srinivas Acharya and Shyamananda Pandit and Narottam Das, they continued on with their bullakard and their guards and the big box trunk of books and went on to the eastern states. And that's another story, a great lesson in their determination, how they took those books, where there's no time today. So this distribution of books is considered one of the transcendental pastimes. One who is writing books, one who is printing books, one who is distributing books, one who is explaining the books, all these are intimate services to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sravan Kirtan Jale Korai Secham. By this hearing and chanting, one waters his tree, waters the plant of bhakti. You see. Even when one's plant reaches the spiritual kingdom, Taha Bistarita Hoya Fale Prema Fall Iha Iha Mali Kore Seche Nitta Sravanadi Jale. Even when one gets, you see, the flowers and fruits of love of God coming on his plant, still the down here, the mali, the devotee is watering daily this hearing and chanting. So by the mercy of Srinivasacharya, today we have Chaitanya Charitamrita and other literatures. He has brought them, you see. So this is our great mercy. So we request everyone to water their devotional creeper with the hearing and chanting, and to distribute the literatures, to expand the preaching to all the conditioned souls, following in the footsteps of our great previous acharyas. Srila Prabhupada, he has shown by both writing and distributing and explaining everything he did single-handedly. So we can pray to Srila Prabhupada for his special mercy, that we may be empowered to distribute and to preach these transcendental granthas or books and make our life sublime, make our life perfect. Thank you very much.